Jesus Christ. Listen, you'll never be saved unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Philippian jailer, you know, asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved as long and along with your family. You can be saved, and your whole house can be saved." When Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, he constantly, as he was conveying to him about being born again, he said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And if you go on through the third chapter of St. John, it says, "The person that believes not is condemned." A person who doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he's under condemnation. Actually, he says a person who has not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says in the last verse of the third chapter of St. John, the wrath of God abides on him. Faith is an important element, an aspect of Christianity. Actually, it's forged and is founded in faith. A person is a Christian who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, last week, I began to speak about people who are lost and how that they're lost because of loose living. I started talking about not only loose living, but also we have in the Christian denomination a loose faith. Yeah. Faith in the Bible has been redefined. Actually, there's a lot of people who try to say that they preach and teach the evangelism of Jesus Christ, but they never speak the words of Jesus Christ. You might recall, we looked in the ninth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and every time Jesus said, "Come follow me, come be my disciple," he said, "Forsake father, mother, sister, brother, houses, land, yea, even your own life. If you don't do that, you cannot be my disciple." He actually told them, if you want to be my disciple, you've got to forsake self. You've got to deny yourself. It says in the ninth chapter of Luke, verses 23 through 27, you must deny yourself. You must pick up your cross and follow me. That's what Jesus said. That was part of his evangelism. He didn't just say, believe on me. He also included that this belief must be a forsaking belief. You must turn from self in order to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when you truly trust Jesus, as the Ethiopian eunuch asked to be baptized, you might recall Philip said unto him, "If you believe with all of your heart, thou mayest." You're not saved until you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart. See, this whole confession and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's become very superficial. Actually, many of the professions today, it excludes discipleship. I do not believe that you get saved at one place and you become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ at another place. I contend that when a person genuinely repents and really trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, they turn away from self. They commit themselves unto the Lord wholly and completely. Listen, if you didn't commit yourself wholly and completely to the Lord when you believed, you didn't have saving faith. Saving faith completely and comprehensively commits himself or herself unto the Lord. There's been this movement of evangelism that's been around us for quite some time, and it's tragically unbiblical. It's unbiblical. It's not according to the Scriptures. The people of the New Testament, when they got saved, they committed themselves to the Lord, they lived for the Lord, and they walked with the Lord. I contend that true salvation, true membership, true Christianity, a person will deny themselves, commit themselves to the Lord, and live for the Lord. Our forefathers used to believe that when your faith fizzles, or if your faith fizzled, it was fraud from the first. We believed in the perseverance of the saints. Amen? Actually, if a person came up, made a profession, united with the church, was baptized, and a few years later they got to living for the devil, like Judas Iscariot, or like one of the other characters of the Bible who did not have genuine faith to begin with, they would write them off their membership. Listen, we believe that when a person gets saved, there's a persevering attachment to the Lord Jesus Christ that they cannot shake. They're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Amen? And that stamp or that seal makes them a child of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ never forsakes one of his disciples. A true, committed disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is never forsaken of the Lord. Actually, the Heavenly Father will treat that person like a father treats a son. You guys know about chastisement? Huh? Where he comes and visits us and brings us back into himself? There's a lot of people that say, well, you Baptists believe once saved, always saved. Yes, we do. We believe that if you get saved, your life is changed, rearranged. We don't believe in just a mental exercise. We believe in a transformation that occurs when you get saved. We believe a person is born again in the Spirit of God. Amen? And so when Paul was talking about this 10th chapter of Romans, about the word being nigh thee, I spoke a little bit last week about the operation of faith. We talked a little bit about the origin of faith. We believe not in a loose faith, but a genuine faith. James spoke about a saving faith, a faith with legs on it, a faith that works, a faith that has works in it. Amen? Listen, when you genuinely trust the Lord, you'll be committed to the Lord. You'll want to serve the Lord. You'll want to follow the Lord. And if you don't forsake self, if you don't forsake every pursuit of life and commit yourself to the Lord, you'll never really be a child of God. Never be a child of God unless you turn from self. Actually, we talk about repentance being a turning from sin. It is a turning from sin. But faith is a turning from self. You cannot hang on to your life and become committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can't do it. Now, I know the world practices and believes that you can, but it's a gospel scandal. Sinners today are told, you know, they can go to heaven. All they got to do is accept Christ. All they got to do is just accept the fact that he died for them. They're told, you know, that they just need to have a proper view of themselves and they'll be okay. Listen, there needs to be a change in you. A change wrought by the Holy Ghost. There has to be the love of God shed abroad in your heart. Like the Bible teaches, there has to be a justification that takes place inside your soul that cleans the slate, that cancels your sin, that blots them out. And when you truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ using the kind of exercise of faith that they exercised in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, if you exercise that kind of faith, you'll be saved. You will be saved. All right, let's read a few verses. He says in verse 8, he says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and thy heart, the word of faith which we preach. I still believe that people get saved by the foolishness of preaching. I still believe that preaching is important. Some of you apparently don't think it's very important. You come here, you can sleep, or you can just ignore what's going on. You don't think it's that important. Listen, this is the most important thing that's done on the face of the earth. They're declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ. At least you ought to be attentive to the word of God. If you've been saved by the foolishness of preaching, you know the importance of preaching. That through the preaching of the cross, people get saved. There's power in the gospel. I believe there's power in the gospel. I think we ought to give our full attention to it. I think we ought to pray for it. Amen. I think we need to amen it when it's the truth. I believe we need to support it with our presence. Listen, we need to be as supportive, not only with our presence, I'll go a little further. We need to support it with our finances. Amen. We need support the proclamation of the gospel. People need to hear. That's what makes it nigh unto them. Paul said the word of the gospel, it was nigh to them. People cannot come to know Jesus Christ without hearing the truth. Faith that brings salvation comes by preaching. Preaching. Now I know there's a lot of people don't think that preaching's important. We live in a day where preaching has been substituted with drama. They think that, oh, we just put on a show. All right, we'll just show you a picture or something. We'll show you a movie picture. We'll show you, we'll do some dramatization. We'll act out the gospel. No, I believe the gospel needs to be preached. Amen. God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. Amen. Amen. And so the word is nigh thee. Paul was saying the word has been presented unto you. It's in your mind. It's in your heart. In other words, you're real close to being saved.
Once you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, once you hear about Jesus dying on the cross of Calvary to atone for your sins, when you hear about Jesus being the substitutionary atonement, taking your place, that you have a debt unto God, and the only way you can pay that debt is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and let Him pay it for you. Otherwise, you'll perish endlessly in eternal punishment if you don't let Jesus take the place for you, if you don't let Him take your judgment for you. And so you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, how to be saved, how you need to repent, how you need to trust in Jesus to be your substitute, to save you and secure you from your destruction and from your sins. I think it's important that the preaching of the Word of God go forth. We have a lot of preaching, but it's not the preaching of the Word. We have a lot of preaching, but it's not the preaching of the Word. Right? What did Paul say to the young minister Timothy? He said there would come a time when people would not heed sound doctrine. Actually, he told him, he said, preach the Word. Preach the Word in Timothy chapter 3. Preach the Word. Be in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. He said the time will come when they would not heed sound doctrine, but they would heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. They would turn their ears from the truth. We're in that day. People don't want to hear the truth about their sins. Churches don't want to hear the truth from the Word of God. They want some kind of a family affair. They want some kind of community service. They want some kind of help and aid provided for them. They want their kids to have fun. Listen, it's not about your kids having fun. It's about your kids getting saved. Being born again in the Spirit of God. Them hearing the truth. I know there's a lot of people, they go to church and they just want programs. Come on, I have people call here all the time. What kind of programs do you offer my kids? Well, we have the program of eternal life. Amen. Yes, yes. We're almost 100 for 100 here at Victory Church. If you'll bring your kids up at this church in the nurture and admonition of the Lord will save them by His wonderful grace. He'll put them in His kingdom. They'll be great soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll have an eternal reward in heaven. How can you beat that program? Yeah. Yeah. The Word! Oh, aren't you thankful for the preached Word? The Word is nigh, people, because it's been proclaimed, it's been preached that Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. This is a true and faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He came to save you. Sinners need to come. They need to come broken. They need to come contrite. I believe the Word of God does that, don't you? Yeah, the Bible says that a person cannot be saved unless they come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. The Bible says clearly that they have to forsake everything in order to find the Lord. Actually, you must come to the end of yourself in order to be saved. When a person in the New Testament made a confession of faith, all right, they put their life on the line. It meant that if they got caught being a Christian, they would be martyred. They could be stoned. Their property would be taken away. They could be put on a cross. They could be put in prison. There were ramifications from assembling and serving the Lord. And yet they still committed themselves to it. Why? I'll tell you why. Because of the power of the gospel. Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why did he say that? Why did he say he wasn't ashamed? Because there was persecution. Because coming into a community and declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ many times meant death. You look at the life of the Apostle Paul. How many times they sought to kill him. Every city he went into, he fled for his life because he was a preacher of the cross. But he said, I'm not ashamed. He went into those cities anyway because he knew that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. To everyone that believes. Everyone that believes. The Word is nigh thee. What Word? Look in verse 8. The Word of Faith. Faith. Faith is the medium by which we connect with God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, that we're saved by grace through what? Through faith. Grace will never come into your life. Salvation will never come to your life. The blessings of God will never come into your life unless you exercise an individual, personal faith in the Lord Jesus. By grace, but it's through faith. You must exercise faith. God has provided grace on His part. Your part is you need to exercise faith. God has done His part. You need to do your part. You need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, and verse 11, chapter 12, verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1, rather, we read there where that He said we need to lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. And He says we need to run with patience the race is set before us, looking unto Jesus. In other words, He says looking unto Jesus. And when He says that, He's saying we need to look away from everything else. Look away from everything else. So, how does faith work? Well, I mentioned that last week. All right. First of all, you have a need. You know you need to be saved. Then you start gathering information. That's the purpose of preaching. You gather the information that Jesus paid the price for you. He paid your sin debt. That if you'll repent of your sins and you'll trust in Him with all of your heart, all of your life, all that you are, all that you'll ever be, if you'll trust in Him with all of your heart, He will save you. That's a promise. When you go through the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and chapter 12, if you start in verse 1 and go all the way through a couple of chapters there, you'll find the word promise used over and over again. Abraham believed God. He believed what? The promise. He believed God. He had faith. And he had believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Do you have that kind of faith? Where that when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive imputed righteousness based upon the promises that were made. Listen, the promise is that if you'll trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins and resurrected on the third day, you can be saved. Be saved. The word is nigh you. It's close. Even in your heart, the word of faith. Listen, the word can be in your head, the word can be in your heart, but unless you believe it with all that's in you, if you don't exercise faith, it'll do you no good. How does faith work? Well, you have a need. You hear the preaching that Jesus supplied that need, that He died on the cross for your sins. And then the third thing, faith is never real until you commit yourselves to it. You must commit yourselves to it. All of us must commit ourselves to it. And so committing yourselves to it is really trusting it, really committing, really believing the evidence that's been provided you. He has supplied the need, and then you commit yourself to the evidence that's been presented in the gospel. Listen, we were all saved by believing the gospel, trusting the good news that Jesus saves. Trusting the good news. I suppose that one of the greatest definitions of faith is found in Hebrews, where it says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. In chapter 11, verse 1, the evidence of things not seen. Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please God, in verse 6. What is this substance and evidence? Faith is substance. Well, it's a surety. It's an assurity of things hoped for. And it also is the certainty of things not seen. For every one of us that truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a firm persuasion. There's a sureness. There's a certainness of something. There's a sureness, first of all, that if we will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll save us. There is a certainty Though we've not seen his death on the cross, no, we've not seen him ascended to glory, there's a certainty that must be a covenant persuasion in our hearts and in our lives that if we will believe that, if we'll trust in Jesus, he will redeem us. He will justify us. Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, therefore being justified by what? Faith. We have what? Peace with God. Through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. All of these patriarchs that we read about, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, they all had faith. The Bible said in Genesis 15 and 6, Abraham believed God. Believed God. The Israelites in Exodus 4 and 31, chapter 14, verse 31, and the prophets, they believed God. Habakkuk said that the just would live by faith. Listen, faith is not a vending machine that you put faith in, you push a button, expect God to respond. You don't lasso God with a, you know, and say, I've got faith, do this. No. Faith is you turning away from self and committing yourself to his will. Committing yourself to his will. Now, it involves your emotion. It involves your intellect. It involves your heart or your soul. The whole being must be involved in the exercise of faith. Faith always manifests itself in discipleship. You know, there's people today, they say, well, I want to be a Christian, but I want to keep living like I'm living, doing like I'm doing, do my own thing. You can't do that. Not and have faith. Amen? You just can't do that. Faith always manifests itself in discipleship. Faith always manifests itself in works. Faith without works is what? Dead. 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 Too many people have dead faith. Discipleship is a manifestation of faith. True faith is a working faith. It's a faith that follows Jesus. It's firmly committed to the will of Christ. We denounce self. We submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. We surrender ourselves unto him. That word of faith is out there. It's in your mind and it's in your heart. I know there's easier ways provided by the world, but they're not true ways that bring salvation. Jesus said you got to forsake it all. I believe you got to forsake it all. You got to turn away from self. You got to turn away from self and submit to the will of Christ. I want to look at something just hurriedly, briefly. Let's look in Philippians chapter 3 just for a moment. Here the Apostle Paul was giving us the inside conditions of his Damascus Road experience. He was on the Damascus Road and he saw the Lord and he got saved. Amen. He saw a great light. All right? He saw a great light. And he said, when he saw that great light, he called the Lord Jesus, Lord. He said, Lord, what will thou have me do? I believe Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. Right there on that road. We have the external aspects of it in the ninth chapter of Romans, what actually happened to him there. But let's notice some of the internal aspects. I want us to notice some of the things he said in chapter 3. Notice he said, verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath thereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Okay, now Paul's going to explain his life. This was his entire summation of life. All that he was, all that he expected to be, all he wanted to be. Notice it says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. He's saying, I was the most religious man there is. I was the Jew of Jews. I was the Pharisee of Pharisee. I was of the best tribe. I had the best conditions. I had crossed every T. I had dotted every I. He said, I had done everything. This was what I was trying to achieve, and I was accomplishing everything I wanted out of life. You know, if we were famous and we had a very profitable career, we were making a lot of money, had a lot of prestige, well known in this area, very successful. Do you realize that if you were very successful, if you were to get saved, you had to lay your success on the altar in order to be saved? Do you guys really believe that? You know, we hear preachers all the time, they say, well, you know, that thing that happened with that rich young ruler, you know, you just got to do that in your heart. You just got to do that in your mind. You don't really have to lay everything down. Yes, you do have to lay everything down. You got to turn from every achievement, every success. Your life must be nothing. In order for Jesus to be Lord of your life, Paul is saying, I was successful. I was well-known in the Jewish ranks. He said, but there's something that happened to me on the road to Damascus. He said, I had accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish. I achieved everything I wanted to achieve. I was very successful. I had the greatest upbringing and the best parents and all these things. But and concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness of the law, I was blameless. He said, I was perfect when it came to the law. But look at verse 7. What things were gained to me? Everything that I had gained in life, every achievement, every accomplishment, every success, all that I am as Saul of Tarsus, everything that I am, my family, my Jewish upbringing, my religious training, my notoriety, my success, all of it. What happened inside of you, Paul? Now, he uses a word in here in verse 8 that actually is a gross Greek word. I mean, it's just gross. Now, let me read it for you. He said, but what things were gained unto me? Those I counted loss for Christ. What did he do? He gave it all up. All of it. All of his success. All of his achievement. All that he was as an individual, he gave it all up. Counted it all but loss. Notice what he says on. He says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things. Everybody say all things. All things. Everything you are, everything you have, everything you will ever be. Listen, do we really believe in a forsaking faith? If we don't, we have a loose faith. We believe that faith lets go of everything else and trust completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I say everything, that means everything. When the Bible says everything, that includes your children, your grandchildren, it includes your spouse, it includes mom and dad, it includes all of your belongings, it includes your occupation. Listen, if you hang on to some fun or activity, you can die and go to hell. There's been people that have had to lay dancing on the altar. Didn't Evelyn? Yeah. There can be some fun or activity, some sinful activity in your mind or your heart that you won't give up in order to be saved. And if you don't give it up, you won't be saved. Because we believe in a forsaking, everybody say forsaking. Forsaking faith. You must turn from everything, everything in Paul's life that was important to him, he laid it all down. And he said, Lord, right there in his heart, he forsook it all. What will you have me to do? He said, everything, everything but loss For what? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them. Now here's not only saving faith, but walking by faith. You know, if we could just keep everybody as committed as they were when they got saved, we'd have a great church. Huh? I mean, if you guys just keep exercising the faith you exercised when you got saved, if you'd walk in that faith, as he said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, I believe it is, you know, as you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, walk in him, if you would just live your Christian life like you did when you committed yourself to him when you got saved, we'd have great churches. We've got our idea, we got in our mind, and we've got the idea that we can live for the Lord Jesus Christ here. We can develop our own little careers and our own little life over here. And we think that's okay. No, it's not. That's not living by faith. Paul said all of it was lost, and it remained lost. He uses a Greek word. I thought I jotted that down somewhere. I know it starts with an S. I don't remember what it is. But he says, I count it but what? Dung. Yeah. Well, that's the King James. If you got an NIV, a New American Standard, or something like that, it's something a lot stronger. Yeah, manure. That stuff is nothing to me now. Let me ask you something. Is that stuff important to you now? Is your life really that important to you? Your life? Listen, if we do not live our lives for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're living for ourselves. Discipleship means submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ by turning from self. Self-denial. Everybody say self-denial. Man, boy, we don't hear that much preached, do we? A forsaking faith. You forsake yourself, your wants, your desires, your plans, your achievements, your accomplishments, your family, and you trust Jesus. You know, that's why Paul said it was better for him not to marry. You know why? Do you know why he said, you know, it would probably be better for him not to marry? Do you know why? Because his wife and children would have drew him back into that, my world, my life, my home, my family, my car, my career, my stuff. And Paul didn't want that at all for him. He wanted it all to be about Jesus. Listen, if you have started your own agenda as a Christian, then you're not denying self. Self-denial. All right, let me close up. So, he says, all of this stuff that was so important to me, it became nothing. He experienced what I call spiritual bankruptcy. He came to the end of himself. I believe the word of faith will bring you to the end of self. End of self. Faith, finding the Lord Jesus Christ, true faith, is coming to the end of your life, to where you're ready to live life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual bankruptcy. We need sinners to do like the publican did in the 18th chapter of Luke, where he smote him on his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Listen, I'm going to say this very plainly. It is a sin for you to live unto yourself. I'll say it again. It is a sin for you to live unto yourself. You were created for the honor and the glory of God. Jesus came to save you from that sin. He's worthy of your trust. Yes, you can trust him. I want to get a song. Bible says the Lord is near those of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. I believe that Paul experienced an internal brokenness. He experienced a contriteness. He came to the end of himself, all that was important to him as far as his accomplishments in his life. He laid it down. He forsook it. And people, we need to get back to the old past. That's the old past. Has nothing to do with the heavenly highway hymn. It has nothing to do with what we wear. It's how we live. We're to live, as Habakkuk said, we're to live by faith. That is the foundation of the Christian way, to live our lives forsaking self and living for the Lord.
If you're here today and you've never been saved, the word is nigh you. The word of faith, which has been preached from this pulpit, it's available, it's close. What do you need to do? You need to submit to it. You need to submit to it. Surrender the gospel. Surrender to the gospel. Surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. As we stand and say, is there somebody here who hasn't surrendered to the Lord Jesus? Would you come and pray? We'll pray with you. Trust Him with all of your heart. Is there somebody here today? You've never been born again of the Spirit of God. You never believed on Jesus to the point to where you experienced a change, a transformation. Actually, the Bible says that faith is an operation of the heart. There needs to be something that takes place in your soul. You have to be justified to the sight of God. Saving faith that transforms your life. Listen, if things after you got saved were the same, you didn't get it. Your life needs to be rearranged. Amen? And the Lord Jesus Christ will do that. All right, let's sing. Is there somebody here who's never been saved? Would you pray? Is there somebody here that will take Jesus, surrender their life? I mean, just lay it all on the altar. Forsake it all. Just trust in Jesus. Look to Him to be your Savior, Lord. Surrender it all to Him. Say, Lord, I am yours. I'm yours. I'm yours. Listen, if you'll humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, He'll lift you up. He'll lift you up. You need an operation of faith in your heart and life. Would you come? Let us pray with you. There's somebody here who needs to pray, call on the Lord. Bible says in that 10th chapter, whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be saved. You got to believe with all of your heart. I mean, trust in Jesus to be your Savior. Would you trust in Jesus today? Somebody here today. How is it with your soul? Hey, this thing's real. Salvation is real. What Jesus came to provide is real. Would you come to the Lord Jesus Christ today? I mean, forsake it all. Just pour yourself out like water on the ground. Say, Jesus, I'm yours. My life is yours. Would you come today? Is there somebody here who will pray?
time today.